Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
That's the gospel message. And that's the message that needs to be proclaimed across the world. That's the bad news, and that's the good news, all because of Jesus. Bad news, our books condemn us. Good news, Jesus came on the cross and offers us forgiveness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every town square across Spain could have a red box and hear the preaching of the gospel, seeing that 99 out of 100 people don't even attend a church in Spain? That would be a wonderful thing. So that's what we do. We stand on a red box and we preach the gospel. Let me introduce my wife to you. Julie, come on up here. She has been at my side for 30 years, and we do On the Red Box together. We're missionaries together. This is not Jacob Bach, the missionary, and his wife. This is Jacob and Julie Bach, the missionaries to Spain. She is my bodyguard. And that's the truth. Oh, let's show what happens when I need you as a bodyguard. Listen, I'm going to have the ushers come forward and just pass out our prayer card. Well, it's information on our ministry, and it's a picture of a prophet who's a prophet evangelist who's we had this drawn so that we feel like we are ones that stand on a red box and proclaim and warn people to turn from their sin and to turn to God. And then on the back, you'll see information about Three Things Matter, where you can sign up for my blog, which is my website, and On the Red Box, where you can get training for evangelism, and also see what we're doing in Spain. That's on that website, so that's a nice bookmark for you. But let me tell you what happens. Julie's my bodyguard, because when we stand on the streets, like Pastor Craig mentioned, we are on this Times Square with all these people, but not everybody loves us. There are a lot of drunks that go by, or people that are maybe whipped out on drugs or something, or maybe just demon-possessed, because we've had several of those that were filled with evil spirits, that when they hear the preaching of the cross, they kind of get a little excited. And we've had people come towards us, come after us, and they break through the crowd that's listening, and they're coming straight for the box. So I may be on the box, and if all of a sudden somebody in the background starts screaming, Julie comes to my side. At the beginning, we were translating, because in Spain, we translate everything from Spanish to English. Spanish for the Spaniards, English for the tourists. Anybody that doesn't speak Spanish usually speaks English going through that square. I had her stop towards the beginning so I could finish it in English just for your sakes. But Julie will come by my side. She'll be scanning to make. And then if somebody breaks through the crowd, Julie comes down and stands right in front. Like that. Sometimes she turns around and crosses her arms and stands right in front of the box, and is like, nobody's going to grow through this woman and come after me. And they haven't yet. We've had people come straight up to us, but there's Julie protecting me. Isn't that amazing? You have my wife. Anyway, Julie, tell us a little bit about what we do.
I use my blocking techniques I learned in basketball. anyway, we are in the main square. 120,000 people go through that square. How many of you guys have visited Europe and have walked through some of the squares of Europe? We have human statues out there. They've got the fountains. We've got street musicians out there. And in Madrid, every afternoon at 6 o'clock, we have groups of Christians that come out, join us. Christians from any Christian church across Madrid comes out. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people from any church, and they work. They're students. And when they get out of work or when they're done studying, they come run down with us, and we take turns. We believe in the power of announcing the gospel. Spain is an atheist, agnostic culture. People don't believe, or they believe that they're good enough. But there is a power when we stand and we announce what Jesus did for us on the cross. And there's a power that when we stand and we tell what Jesus did in our own life, the gates of hell cannot stand against us, you guys. We can go into the darkest place where nobody believes. We can go to the darkest culture in the world where nobody has ever heard about Jesus. We can go into cultures where there is abuse, there are rapes, there are murders, and by the power of announcing the gospel and telling our testimony, the life of Jesus Christ comes into those cultures. So I want to encourage you guys here in Casper, Wyoming, the gates of hell cannot stand against you. And so when God sends you into those dark places and you say, but nobody believes, that's why he's sending you there, okay? He's sending you there. He sent us to the Puerta del Sol in Madrid, and he's sending people out to the ends of the earth. And most likely they're young people, and they're young people and even kids amongst you guys right here that will go to the ends of the earth, and not because they're great and not because they're smart, but because they're going to announce the gospel and share their testimony, the kingdom of God is going to go around the world. So we believe in the power of announcing the gospel. And that's why we have that guy that with his bugle is announcing and warning. I want to encourage you guys, it's powerful. There is nothing more powerful than to lift up your voice and share the simple message of Jesus dying on the cross. And by believing in him, God will forgive our sins and we'll get power with God. So every day we go out, we stand up, we lift up our voice. People come around, gather around to listen, and we tell them in 2 minutes what Jesus has done in our lives. And then we share what Jesus has done when he died on the cross using an illustration like the book. And then we offer a light for the lost gospel, those of you that give to help us have literature on the mission field. And then we talk to people one-on-one. And then after that, we do it again. We'll do that probably about, in an evening, 6 to 8 times, what we call a round. Okay, we can do it with as small as one person. We've had people that have gone out by themselves, stood on the box by themselves, and God has moved. 2 people, or we like to have at least 5 people. So pray for us. Also pray for us as a body of Christ, that we will go to the streets. God put it in Jacob's heart. If only 5 people from every evangelical church went to the street once a week, what would happen? What would happen in our community? What would happen in our nation? What would happen around the world? So it's important to announce evangelism.
We'll share if you want. And you stay here. And don't think that we could do this without prayer. Now, if I ask you right now, if I say in about 2 minutes I'm going to go out and pick one of you to come up here and you're going to give your testimony, right? I bet you every one of you would just start praying. Oh Jesus, what am I going to say? Oh bless me, oh anoint me, oh God, help me. And that's the way we feel. That's the way we feel every day. That's the way we feel every day. What, you think we're great? Oh my goodness, no, we're super weak. Yeah, we got the call of God on our lives, and we know we need to go out and proclaim, and that burns within us, but you think we got the power to do this? There's no way. That's why we opened up a prayer house, because we need to schedule our time to pray so that we can, so it's open 8 hours a day. We have people in there 8 hours a day that are praying, and we'll do worship also, but from that prayer house, we have 5 windows that overlook the town square where we're doing evangelism. So if you go up to the window and you look down, you can see us doing evangelism down in there. Now, right now, there's a big crowd. That was last Christmas. We decided to take a picture when there was a lot of people that stopped and listened to us rather than just 1 or 2. So you thought that would happen all the time. Doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes we have 5 people listening to us. Sometimes we have 150. But this was one where we were preaching, and the crowd came around. And so when people in the prayer house are looking down at us, they can pray for us. Oh, look, Jacob's preaching. Let's intercede. Oh, look, at Julie's translating. Let's pray for him. And then when we're done with it, we do personal evangelism, just like we prayed with our hand on our heart. Sometimes we do that in Spain. But then we'll go one-on-one evangelism, and we'll just talk to people. And then people from the prayer house can see us. And so we do that. We cannot do this without prayer. Prayer and evangelism are married. Okay? They're married. And they will never get divorced. Right? They're a coin. One coin, 2 sides. You can't do one without the other. The more you pray, the more you'll want to evangelize. And the more you evangelize, the more you realize you got to pray. So our focus is three things: prayer, evangelism. We have a coffee house, just like you guys have coffee here. We have a coffee house where we can invite people and such and witness to them and bring them up from the street. We offer our coffee on donation basis. We've got the best coffee in Madrid. And we also focus on the third thing, which is training.
Training, mentoring, there's a website that says three things matter: prayer, evangelism, and mentoring. So we actually have a webpage. It's not actually up on the line, but it's called On the Red Box. Please check it out. It's on the card, On the Red Box. And you can go there and you can learn how we talk to people one-on-one. We're talking with agnostics, atheists, people that think they're good enough for God. We use questions. Check it out. How you should be able, everyone here should be able to give their testimony in 2 minutes. Pastor Craig can come up to you and he can say, hey, I want you to give your testimony, and you're ready. You can learn how we train people to do that. And preaching the gospel message. How many of you out there are prepared and ready to preach, to announce the message of Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, in a way that people can understand using a parable, an object? Online, you can learn how to do that, okay? So we have that to offer you, and that's our mentoring.
All right. Well, we started in Madrid 10 years ago with the Red Box, and thanks, Joel. And God, in his creative way, basically what he decided that he wanted to raise up evangelists all across the world that would go back to the old-fashioned way of proclaiming the gospel without the lights, without the smoke, without the microphones. We don't use microphones. That's why we didn't preach with one today. We just use our lung power, and we can preach, and they can hear us. They can come close and hear us and go back to the way they preached the gospel for 2,000 years. Just the old, just get out there, get full of God, preach the gospel, and God will do the work. That's the way we believe that it's working for us. And so people from around the world now have got an eye on the Red Box, and God is raising up evangelists literally across the world saying, we want to learn what you're doing. So part of our mentoring is to train other people to do what we do. And right now we're in 11 countries. We have ministries in 11 countries, and we have 30 official Red Boxes that are weekly, and some more than once a week are out on the street proclaiming the gospel from Mexico, Colombia, Sweden, England, Germany, Czech Republic. They're just all over the place. So it's really exciting what God's doing. We get to be a part of it, and you know what? You guys get to be a part of it too. I remember in the word that we heard from the Lord this morning, they said, well, don't compare yourself with somebody else. That's great. You guys get to come. You guys get to partner with us. You're co-laborer with us, because when you support missions, when you fill out that little faith promise card today and you say, I want on a monthly basis be able to help missions, you're going into Czech Republic, you're going down to Colombia, you go into Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, where we have a team, one of the most dangerous cities in the world, where we have a team of about 100 soul winners from their youth group that go out to the street with signs that say eternity, and they're doing witnessing, and they're doing street preaching, and people are coming to the church every week in Ciudad Juarez. You know how dangerous it is? It's a drug city right across from El Paso, Texas. You know how dangerous it is? I have a friend. I talked to him last week. He was passing out tracts at a stoplight. You're like, oh, how embarrassing. Like, who cares? These people need to hear, you know? I mean, get it out there some way, you know? I mean, so if you want to stand at a stoplight and pass out tracts, then do it, you know? Rejection always comes when you're a Christian. So you'll get it rejected. So what? Was, like, Jesus not rejected? They rejected him. They're going to reject us. So anyway, so he's standing there, and he goes up to this SUV with tinted windows. He should have known better. SUV with tinted window. The guy didn't roll it down, so he knocks on the window. The guy rolls it down a little bit. He hands him a track. Guy had the dark sunglasses on. He goes, and then all of a sudden, my friend Jorge Gonzalez, he goes, oh, boy, I shouldn't have done that. He realized that these guys were part of the narcotraficantes. I mean, the, what do you call them? Drug lords. You know, I mean, the mafia, bad news people. And he just let go, turned around, and just started walking down the street away from the car as fast as he could. And he turned around and looked. The guy was leaning out the window with a machine gun pointed right at his back. And he just, oh, Jesus, 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 praying in tongues on the way down. The guy did not shoot. And he pulled back in the thing, and then he drove off. That's the kind of people that God is raising up that are fearless. Well, he was afraid. But you know what I'm saying? That they're, no matter what the situation, they're willing to go out there. Wow, I'm so proud of our soul winners that are out there. Anyway, before I go into just, I want to go do like our last part of our mission. Craig and Rebecca and your family, you guys are amazing. I am so proud of you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys have amazing pastors. These guys have a heart after God. They seek God. They seek God for a word for this church. They pray for you. And you guys pray for them. The more you pray for them, the better they get. The more you pray for Pastor Craig, the better he's going to preach. I'm serious. That's just the way it works. So God bless you. Thank you for letting us come and share. Man, it's just a privilege to be in your church. We follow him around these last 20 years, and I always meet up every time we get back to the States. We're only here for a few more months, and then we're going back to Spain. Praise God. Before I go into the last section, and then we'll turn back to Pastor Craig. Does anybody have a question about what we do? I'm gonna field two or three questions, and I'll answer them as quick as possible. That never happens, but I'll answer them as quick as possible. And then I'm just want to share one thing from the Word to encourage you. Okay? I want to encourage one thing from the Word. Okay? Anybody have a question about what we do? About what this is all about? Just raise your hand, and then I will point. Julie, we did an amazing job. We've answered everybody's questions, except, of course. Okay, let's hear your question. Oh, yeah, what kind of follow-up do we do? Where do we send the people after we pray for them on the streets? Well, we work with about 25 evangelical churches. We're multi-denominational. Although we're Assemblies of God, we work with the Baptists. We work with the Presbyterians. We work with the Brethren. We work with whoever is born again, loves Jesus, and wants to pray and evangelize. That's who we work with. And so if I'm praying or if I'm witnessing to somebody, I'll invite them to my church. Or we have a list of like 30 churches on a piece of paper that we're working with, and if a church is closer to where they're at, we'll send them there. So every soul winner is responsible for inviting that person to their church and get them involved in their follow-up program. We had considered doing the follow-up ourselves, but God didn't really allow us to go that direction, and he wants us to stick with the three things that he called us to, which is prayer, evangelism, and mentoring. Then once we win them, we deposit them in the local churches, and they're the ones that do the follow-up and the discipleship and stuff. That way we work together as a body. Yeah, that's important. Yes. Who mentored me? Pastor Craig. No. Who mentored me? That's a very good question. Let me see if I can make up an answer. No. Okay. Nobody's ever asked me that question. She just like totally threw me off guard. Jack and Coletta Glass were the first pastors we worked with. We were up in Jamestown, North Dakota, and they marked our lives. But when it comes to evangelism, doing what we do, all my mentors are dead. Okay? Because they died in the 1800s. Yeah, they died in the 1800s. All my mentors, and this is Ray Comfort. Anybody that knows about Ray Comfort and Living Waters, he has also influenced my life a lot as far as his evangelism and his evangelism techniques. Evangelist Steve Hill, who was part of the Pensacola and Brownsville revival back in the 90s, has influenced my life a lot. But as far as my methodology of going out to the street with a box and the evangelistic message that I preach on the street has come from George Whitfield, has come from Charles Finney, has come from John Wesley, from the Wesleyan movement, from the 1800s. That's why when I said I collect old books, it's a true statement, because all these guys that were just crazy on fire for God that went from village to village and they proclaimed the gospel, those guys were my heroes. And so I read about their lives. I read about how they did it, open-air evangelism in the 1800s, field preaching, and I said, that's what God put in my heart. So I just studied all those guys, and I put their techniques into practice, and that's what we have today. So yeah, those are my mentors. I got a whole list of them. Richard Baxter, he's from the 1600s. Some great Richard Baxter, who wrote, oh man, it's just great stuff. Send you a list of books. Yes, ma'am. Miss. What made me want to be a missionary? Excellent question. I did not expect to be a missionary. Didn't even know what missionaries mission trip-ish, about the short-term mission trip, I encourage you to come to Spain. If anybody wants a short-term mission trip, you guys talk to your pastors, and right? And maybe we'll pray about planning a trip where a group of 5 or 10 of you could come. I took a short-term mission trip. I got to Spain. I looked and saw that there were hardly any churches, hardly any believers, and God put Spain in my heart, and I says, I've got to go back and preach the gospel. That's why I'm a missionary today, because I went there, saw the need, and decided that I would come back. Yeah. Is being a missionary hard? Nobody's ever asked me that question before. There are hard things about being a missionary, but I'll tell you this, that God will give us grace for whatever we're called to. So I really love the word of God this morning that was given by our sister, and in that word they said, you know, just listen to the voice of God and do what God has called you to do. If you do that, even though it's hard, there's a supernatural strength that comes and fills you, and you can do supernatural things that are super hard, and people look back and say, I don't know how you do that. Well, neither do we, because God gives us the strength to do it, and we do it, and sometimes we marvel at what we do. Not because we're great, but because God, it gives us strength to do it. So yeah, there's hard times. Sometimes they're really fun, and sometimes we come home, we cry, because it's so hard, because it's like, God, they're all going to hell, and we're not saving them all yet. So there's hard times, but God gives us strength, and we can maintain the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Good question. How about one more? How about one more? Oh, there's 17 more. Yeah. Did I know Spanish before I went? No. I didn't know any Spanish before I went. I knew hola and Taco Bell. And dude, I was really bad. I didn't know any Spanish. I grew up in northern Wisconsin on a chicken farm. There were no people that spoke Spanish. But we went to San Jose, Costa Rica to a language school. We studied there for a year. By the time we were done there, we were somewhat advanced in our language speaking. We got to Spain, and then we just listened to people and increased what we had already learned. So we had to learn once we got there. But now we do everything in Spanish. We pray in Spanish. God has even spoken to me in Spanish. Then I realized that God is like, he like knows all the languages. God speaks everything. It's like, well, yeah, duh. But I didn't realize that until one day God spoke to me in Spanish, and I realized, well, God speaks Spanish. Yeah. Yeah, get somebody that hasn't had a chance. Yes, sir. Right, like the laws that is concerning. Well, we have freedom of religion, and so do you guys. We have freedom of speech in Europe, and so do you guys. You may think that you don't because somebody had a problem. I'll tell you what, you look at your constitution and you take it and you run with it. We have freedom of religion, we have freedom of speech, and we can use it. And if you're bold enough, you can go out and just do what God's called you to do and not worry about it. We have freedom of religion. So here's the deal. As long as we don't carry firearms, that's part of the Constitution. They don't even sell firearms over there, so that's not a problem. Number two, as long as we don't stop the flow of the pedestrians or the cars when we preach, we can be out there. And as long as we don't use microphones, we are free to have a meeting on the street and express our ideas, no matter what they are, anywhere in Spain. And that's why this works great. Cops will come up to we're surrounded by cops every day. Plainclothes cops and regular cops with their badges and hats and everything. And I remember preaching once, and we had 13 riot police with like seven vans right next to us. I said, well, this is our spot to preach. We're going to preach. And they just stood there, you know, and they listened to us with their hats on. They're waiting for a great big deal to come down and everything. But we preached, and they didn't bother. Sometimes they tell us, get off the box, you can't be here. But those are usually the guys that don't know us. Oh, by the way, we've been here longer than you. No, we don't say that. But we say, oh, no. So, but anyway, we usually talk to them, and if we have to move down 100 yards, we move down 100 yards and preach there. That's why I have wheels on my box. So if a cop doesn't want me to preach here, then I'll preach someplace else. All right, guys, ask us questions afterwards. Great, now we've got the ball rolling and everything, but you can ask us a few questions afterwards. I want to take about 10 minutes and just encourage you with something from the – look at Romans chapter 10 for a minute. Romans chapter 10. And I want to share with you what this Mission Sunday is all about, what being a missionary is all about. Some of you are going to be filling out that missionary faith promise. Julie and I, we give to missions. Not only do we do missions, but we also have missionaries that we support. We have a faith promise. We give our tithe. And then above and beyond our tithe, We give offerings, and above and beyond our offerings, we support some missionaries in some different lands. And so some of you guys are going to be doing that. And this is why we do it. Why we do it is Romans chapter 10. And we'll start with verse 13. And I'm just going to read it through to where the verse says that I have beautiful feet. All right? Look at these feet. Gorgeous. Look. Sometimes you'll look on our website and you'll see pictures. I just realized this now, Julie. I don't know why it's inspiring to me, but we'll take a picture of just the box and somebody's feet. Like, we don't even know who they are. And people will be looking at, those are my shoes. You know, those are some of our soul winners. And I just realized how beautiful are the feet of those that proclaim good news. God says, man, you've got beautiful feet. You may not be good looking, but your feet are, well, anyway, I don't know why. Anyway, our feet are, I'll read up until that point. Well, I don't need to be on the box now. Okay, verse 13. For everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be what? Everybody say saved. Good. How then will the Spaniards or anybody, how then will they call upon Jesus in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in Jesus in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Everybody say preaching. Yep. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. I got good looking feet because I get to preach the good news. And your feet could be good looking too if you'd be willing to preach the gospel. And you don't have to do it on a red box. You can just talk to the person at the coffee shop, and that's using your voice and proclaiming. And God says, good looking feet when you do that. He is so proud of us when we open up our mouths and we do more than just live the Christian life, but we actually proclaim Christ. Okay, now here, this is what the Bible says. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Put the picture up of that wedding. My daughter, my oldest daughter, who was born in northwestern Spain, she got married last month. She's 24 years old, and she found herself a soccer player who played for the Canadian soccer team, a national soccer team for 4 years, and they both love Jesus, and they got married on the 16th of December, and I'm at the altar there giving away my daughter. Now let me tell you about what this verse means. It said, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, let me tell you what you're going to be saved from. Ready? If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved from this. You're going to be saved from your sin. In other words, all the sins in your book will be washed away. You say amen. You will be saved from slavery. So if you're a slave to any sort of issue, if you're a slave, if you're enslaved to any sort of sin, he'll break those chains and he'll set you free and you can be saved. And then you say, amen. You'll be saved from your slavery to sin. You'll be saved from your guilt. So when you stand before God, you won't be declared guilty. You'll be declared not guilty. You'll take on the innocence of Christ. So you'll be saved from your guilt and you will say, all right, you guys are getting it. You will also be saved from your separation from God. You see, we're separated from God because of our sin. When he takes away the wall of sin, we can become friends of God. We don't have to be enemies anymore, but we can become friends. Amen. That's something that we're saved from. You can also be saved from the wrath of God. You see, someone who believes in Jesus has life. But if you refuse to submit to Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. So rather than you receiving the wrath of God at Judgment Day and then hell, Jesus took it for you. So that instead of wrath, you can receive mercy. Amen. That you'd be saved from that. You can be saved from the wrath of God. And so these are things that God saves you from. He saves you from that. So whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from those things. And what do you get in return? You get eternal life. You get adoption as sons and daughters into the family of God. You have forgiveness of sins. You have freedom. You have relationship with Christ. Okay, you following me? That's the gospel message. But here's the deal. Why did I put a picture of my daughter up there? Because I'm proud of her. Yeah. But it's got a message here. Because it said, whosoever shall call. You know what that means? Call upon means this. It means to take on the surname of someone else. To take on the last name of someone else. It has the connotation of marriage. So my daughter, when I walked her down that aisle, I was a proud dad hanging on to a beautiful woman. My daughter and I get her down to the aisle, and Josh is a Wagner. He's Dutch. Wagner, we would say in English. Josh Wagner. He comes from good stock, Canadian stock, big boys, good family, Christian, serving Jesus. And I get down to the altar, and the pastor says, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And in that moment, I say, Julie and I. And then I shake, this is where I'm shaking Josh's hand. He's as happy as he can be because he gets my daughter. And when she said, I do, she shed the last name Bock, B-O-C-K, and she became a Wagner. And she took on the family name of the Wagner. She changed her email address to Christina Wagner. She changed her Facebook status now to Christina Wagner. She's no longer a Bock, she's a Wagner. And everything that Josh is, now she is part of that. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you just don't say a prayer to get out of hell free. No, no, you get married to the bridegroom. You become his spouse, so to speak. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you say, through thick and thin, rich and poor, with sickness and health, here I am, I renounce my past. Do you see? Christina, in a way, she didn't turn her back on us, but she left us. She left us. She left us, and she went off with him. And that's what the Bible says. You shall leave your father and your, and you shall, come here, wife. I love this part. You'll leave your mom and dad. You'll leave your last name. You leave your home, you leave everything behind, and you cleave. I love the cleaving part. And you cleave to your wife. And that's what we do when we get saved, when we call upon Jesus. We cleave to our bridegroom Jesus. We renounce the past. We take on his name. We're adopted by him. We call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what we do on top of a red box. And let me tell you this, it says, anybody that believes in Jesus can call upon him. But they're saying, oh, how can they believe? They didn't hear about him. And that's the way Spain is. Spain is atheist. It's not Catholic. 9 out of 10 people, they don't even believe in God. All of Europe is that way. Europe is 3% Christian. So 97 out of 100 people are going to hell. How will they hear unless somebody proclaims? Now it says, how will they hear unless somebody preach? I'm saying, good. Sorry, I was just looking at the digital clock in the back. It's all blurry. Thought it said 11 o'clock. You know, back there it doesn't. How will they call upon somebody if they haven't heard? And how will they hear unless they have a preacher? And I want to kind of bring this thing to a close by saying this to you. Of course, we live our Christian lives, but people have to hear the gospel message. That means somebody has to open up their mouth and they have to speak it. They have to proclaim it. I believe in proclamation evangelism. I don't believe in evangelism that's just, I'm going to live my life and hopefully somebody's going to notice and they're just going to get saved by observing. The biblical method of evangelism, look at it throughout the entire New Testament. The main method of evangelism is proclamation. How, when we proclaimed to you, Paul says to the Galatians and to the Thessalonians and to the Romans, when we proclaimed to you, when we spoke to you, when we said to you, when we taught you, when we opened up our mouth and we said about what you need to do to get right with God and call upon him, when we told you about the cross, it says, Jesus said, through the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God. You want to please God? it pleased God that by the foolishness of standing on a box and proclaiming the gospel, he'll save people. He saves people through proclamation. And so we really believe in that. And so he says that when you go, now let me say this, the Great Commission, you want to know what the Great Commission says? Remember it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that you're sitting in Casper and you got to go to a foreign land to preach the gospel. It means this. As you are going, as you are walking, as you are living your life at Starbucks, pulling shots, or at Pizza Hut, making pizza, as you are going, working on the oil fields or the natural gas fields, or you're working at Lowe's. You have a Lowe's here? Home Depot. As you work at Home Depot, as you go and live your Christian life, proclaim the gospel. That's what that means. Got that? And if you do that here in Casper, you'll have beautiful feet. Praise God. Praise God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.